Hello, and welcome to another episode of Graceology. And we got a good one for you guys today. We're going to talk about spiritual progression, and we're going to give you imagery through baptisms, and it's going to be real good. We're going to learn an awful lot today, so be ready and keep along with us in your Bibles. Keeson, you want to take it away?
Yeah, so in our previous three podcasts, we've kind of introduced you justification, sanctification, salvation. We introduced to you the foundation of grace, okay, the beginning stuff. And what that was a picture of the Holy Spirit baptizing you into Christ. But we're going to talk about two other baptisms today. We're going to discuss with you water baptism and then baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so if you want to look with us at 1 Corinthians 12:13, Seabrum, what's that say for us?
All right, guys, just for your information, I'm reading in the ESV version. And 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit."
All right, so right there, that was your salvation. That was the picture of the Holy Spirit baptizing you into Christ, putting you into Christ, being one body, fully immersing you and surrounding you with Christ. All right, so let's
talk about what that looks like in like real life, not just like using, I'm sorry, I'm stuttering here, but the Holy Spirit's gonna beckon your like kind of like dormant little spirit man you have inside, like the real you, and like he's gonna show you like your need for a savior, and like he's gonna show you that, and he's gonna show you what God thinks of you, which is pretty magnificent because God thinks very highly of you. So that's basically what the Holy Spirit baptizing you in Jesus. He's gonna lead you into that repentance.
Right, absolutely. And so now, majority of people, after they receive salvation, the next step for them is their outward expression of their faith, and that is water baptism.
It's kind of like their first work. It's you know how James talked about faith without works is dead. It's not really a work. That word work there means action. Mm-hmm. And so their first action after receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit into Christ, now they're going to be water baptized by a disciple of Christ. And so they take their identifying themselves with Christ, they're making it publicly known of their identification with Christ, and they're going into the water baptism now. You don't go into water baptism until you've received the baptism into Christ.
Right.
I'll say, okay, so water baptism is the result of having received that first baptism into Christ. Now, this is an outward example of what happened to them inwardly. Inwardly, they were baptized by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit comes within. He right. comes within, and he baptizes you into Christ. Now, we're an outward example because we have a disciple there. Let's go to Matthew 28:19. He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." So he's telling the disciples here, you go out and you baptize them. So this right. baptism is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You had to have that first. Now you have the baptism of the disciple into the water showing you the immersion into Christ.
Another cool way I heard it put, it's like another picture like baptism, is like if you take a paint can, you remove both ends, and I guess like the law of gravity doesn't apply because it would fall out both sides, but you run a paint stick through it, the paint stick is completely covered in paint. It's still a stick underneath, but all you see is the paint.
Right, and that's kind of how the Father sees us now.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? When he looks upon us, he sees the blood. He sees Christ in us because we've taken off our raggedy righteousness and we've put on the righteousness of Christ. All right, so now we're going to get into that third baptism that I mentioned. We're going to talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. All right, this is Jesus baptizing us into the Holy Spirit. And it's very important. I'm just going to make a quick note of this. The Holy Spirit is a person. So when you hear somebody call him an it, no, he is a he. He is a person. Okay, make it personal with the Holy Spirit.
He's your best friend, man.
Absolutely, he is. He's the one who gives you your empowerment. So let's just kind of, introduce.
Just quick on that. We have a picture of God as the Father, God as the Son, and God as the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Same God, but three distinct people. And so in John 1:33, this is talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. A lot of people say of the Holy Spirit, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the baptism into Christ, because the Holy Spirit baptizes you into Christ. Now this is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Right. When you're baptized into Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit within. One of the best examples you can read about is in John 4, talking about the woman at the well. Jesus tells him that this well, you know, it's springing up into everlasting life. But it's a well. You have the Spirit within. But now we're going to talk about what the writer talked about when he talked about rivers of living water flowing out of you. A well is, there's no current. It's stagnant. It's everlasting life in there. And so you're completely saved. You have to have the Spirit, Holy Spirit, to be saved. So you have the Spirit within, but now we're going to start talking about the Spirit upon, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. In John 1:33, it says, "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him." Okay, so first he says, he sent me to baptize with water. So we see the water baptism of Christ. But he also says that when you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. This is very important because the Holy Spirit had never descended and remained on anybody throughout the entire history of mankind. Now, we would see accounts of it in the Old Testament where the Spirit would descend, but then he would lift.
Right.
He would come off. He never remained on anybody. He would come on David, or he would come on other prophets, but then he would always remove himself and lift from them. But John says here specifically that God tells him, he says, "Who you see the Spirit descending and remaining, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost." So it's Jesus who baptizes us with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit baptizes into Christ. The disciple baptizes us into water. But then Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit.
Right. Awesome. So some people will question if the baptism in the Holy Spirit is for them, if it's necessary for them, do they need to do this? Well, Christ is our example. So we should be following after the footsteps of Christ. We should be looking at him, saying he was our leader. I want to be more like Christ, right? That's what this whole spiritual walk is about. So did Jesus fulfill all three of those baptisms?
Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. Talk about that.
Well, Jesus wasn't born the same way we were born. He was born supernaturally through the virgin birth. So when his father, literally, naturally, is the Father God of heaven. So unlike us who are born of a natural father, we have the blood of the Father being passed on into us with right. the natural birth. But Jesus was supernaturally born by Father God. And so he has the DNA of God directly through his birth. And he is born right.
Right. It's a really good picture. He was born without sin, right? He knew no sin. Well, when the Bible talks about us being born again, what are we born without, Seaver?
Sin.
Right. We're born without sin. So we both fulfill that with salvation in him through his first natural birth. Born without sin. Okay?
So Jesus didn't need to be baptized into himself.
No.
He was born right. But then the second, he was water baptized. We read in John 1:31, John said to water baptize him. But then also, when you see the Spirit remaining on him, this is the one. And in that moment, when John baptizes him in water, the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove. It wasn't a literal dove, but it's like a dove that comes on him, and the Spirit remains. So he receives the water baptism, comes up out of the water, receives the Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So Jesus experienced all three baptisms.
Right. Go back to Seaver a little bit when he talked about the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. We got some scripture with that, right? Yeah, Matthew 3:16.
You gotta read that? Yeah. "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him."
And notice it says upon there. Upon him. Because he's born right, so he has the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Father in him. But this is an example of the heavens opening and the Spirit falling upon him. Two different two different baptisms.
I think that, like, the reason why we're going so in depth with this because a lot of people think like the Holy Spirit's like a package deal with your salvation, and that's like that's not always necessarily true. Like when they told, I think it was John and somebody else that a certain place received like salvation, they went and walked like 60 miles to this place to go lay hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit. So, right. Like, you know, this is, it's a separate thing unto itself. Like, we're not saying you have to have someone go lay hands on you, or you could just ask for it. You know, it's something like it's separate.
Right. This is,
but just as equally awesome.
Absolutely. They're both a gift. Now, yep. The Holy Spirit came with you with that salvation, mm-hmm. but Sebring, you elaborate on this all the time about how we're perfect and we're not lacking anything.
Yeah.
Right. You're not lacking that. The Holy Spirit and His empowerment is in you. But what you're lacking, if you're not manifesting that out in your life, is the faith to manifest that.
And that's what the gift of the Holy Spirit is. It gives you the empowerment now right. to walk this
he,
out.
He's going to lead you in paths of righteousness. He's going to teach you, and he's going to give you utterances, and it's going like he's seriously your best friend. He's always there, and like it never fails. He's with you through any situation. He's going to lead you to situations.
Right.
You hear?
What about the disciples? Then we see the example of Jesus receiving all three baptisms. Right. What did the disciples? Did they do these things too?
Disciples fulfill them all as well. So. If you're following along, John chapter 20, verse 22, this is when the disciples receive their salvation, okay? This is when the Holy Ghost baptizes them into Christ. So Christ is talking to the disciples, and he said, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost."
So they receive the Holy Ghost in them.
Right.
In this moment. Mm-hmm. But now that they've got the...
They got the well.
God within. They've got the yeah. well in within. What does he tell them to later on to wait and do?
Right.
Wait for the Spirit.
Now he says, wait. He says, stay here in Jerusalem until the promise of the Spirit has come. But now, wait a minute. They just received the Spirit. So what's he talking about?
Right. So this is where now the promise comes in of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, their empowerment. So if you want to read along again, this is in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. And so it says, and the disciples, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. So he tells them, go to Jerusalem, don't leave yet, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me.
Okay, stop right there, because right. you just read in John where they received the baptism within. He breathed on me, he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, right?
Right.
So obviously this is a different... experience
right.
because they said receive you the Holy Ghost, but then he says here in Acts 1, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father,
which ye have heard of me. So yeah. they've heard of the promise, but they don't know what this promise is yet.
Okay.
They've heard of it.
Right, so read verse 5.
Yeah, let's read verse 5 here. So talk about John the Baptist here when he's referencing John. So for John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So not many days after this, once I ascend, okay, you're going to wait here in Jerusalem and wait for this promise of the Father to come.
So clearly this is after receiving that in, because they received it in. It was the Holy Spirit baptizing them into Christ. Now Christ is saying, wait, and on the promise, well, the promise is coming, and he says, when he comes, you will be baptized with or in the Holy Spirit. So, when you repent, you get salvation. We right. talked about remittance of sin. When you repent, that's when you receive salvation. Baptism is water baptism, and then the Holy Spirit is a gift.
Right.
The gift of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And all the gifts.
Right.
Okay? So, the gift of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Then you get everything else that comes along with Him.
You want to check out where the disciples actually get it?
Yeah.
In Acts, the next chapter, Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Right. So that's awesome. So, in our previous three episodes, our previous three broadcasts, we took you to the cross. We got you justified. Okay, got you to understand your sanctification and that mercy. But we don't stay at the cross, okay? We're going to move on to Pentecost. We're going to talk about our empowerment, all right, our authority with the Holy Spirit. So elaborate a little bit more on that for us, Mark.
Well, think about this. I want to address this issue here because so many people look at the book of Acts like it was only for a specific group of people. It was only for the disciples. And so I want you to see right here in this same chapter, Acts 2, verse 39. If you're questioning right now, I've received Christ, I've been baptized into Christ, I've been water baptized, but is this promise of the Holy Spirit for me? Well, Acts 2:39 addresses it because he says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call."
Right.
So that covers everybody. Was the baptism of the Spirit only for the disciples?
No.
Is it only for pastors?
No.
Is it only for deacons?
No.
No, he says, "Even as many as our God shall call."
Right.
The calling of God has been extended to everyone. So this promise is for everybody. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is for you. If you feel like today, maybe you've been saved for a while. Maybe you've had been baptized into Christ for a while. You've been water baptized, but you feel like there's just something more. You know, right. like there's something else. Well, this is the more. This is the something else. This is the empowerment now that you can believe for, that the Holy Spirit is not only in me, but is upon me. He's directing me. All the gifts of the Holy Spirit now are available unto me. This is the more.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of the problem is we've turned this relationship with the Holy Spirit into a doctrine and how to receive some distant power that we know nothing out. But it's so much more personal than that. So like, people like, you talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you're going to get in this, like, the church will argue about tongues and stuff, and does tongues come with it? You know, there's no blanket statement. Sometimes you'll receive the Holy Spirit, you won't burst out in tongues, and sometimes you do, and sometimes you prophesy. Like, we don't limit God to a certain doctrine. Like, he's God, okay? And this is like that's really sad that we fight about something this powerful, man. We try to, like, we confuse ourselves.
Absolutely, we do. And so, let's see, can we piece together these three baptisms and put them in a picture? Do we see these three baptisms in other places throughout the Bible? Well, you can continue to read about it in Acts chapter 8, Acts 19, continue on through Acts chapter 2. It's all throughout the book of Acts. But let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Mark, you got that pulled up. So show us the three that bear witness in heaven and the three that bear witness on the earth, and kind of show that picture, that shadow, that comparison with the three baptisms here that we're talking about.
1 John 5:7, he says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one."
Okay.
And he says that there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, the blood, and these three agree in one. So, in heaven, what's in heaven is bearing witness to the supernatural. The Father, the Word is always Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. They are bearing witness to the supernatural.
Right.
We see how the Father and the Holy Spirit bared witness to Christ while he was on the earth. And those three agreed in one. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, "I only say what the Father says. I only do what the Father tells me to do." And Jesus never took credit for anything that he ever did, because he said it was the work of the Father that was in me that did it. But they had such a relationship that they were as one in the earth. And so when you want to see perfection in the earth, you have to have those three in alignment.
Right.
You got to have them in alignment, because when you have Jesus, the Word, operating in the earth, who is completely in agreement with the Father, it's perfection. Nobody ever walked the face of the earth like Jesus did.
No.
Everything that he did was perfection. Everything that he did was good. And these three bore witness to the supernatural. Now he says there that these three bear witness in the earth. Okay? So the on earth, he says, the spirit, the water, and the blood. He kind of puts them in reverse here. But the blood is the Holy Spirit baptizing us in Jesus. Okay, the water is the water baptism. And the spirit is the baptism of Jesus baptizing us in the Holy Spirit. So in verse 8, you see all three baptism there. The baptism in the spirit, the baptism in water, and the baptism into Jesus Christ. And so these three bear witness in the earth to the supernatural. Now, at salvation, you become that new person. Your spirit is a new creation in Christ, it says. Just to hit on that, it's your spirit that was born again. We are spirit, soul, and body. We are a spirit which possesses a soul who lives in a body. And so your spirit was born again at salvation. That's the new creation. Then the water baptism is that baptism of the washing away of the flesh, or the natural way of thinking. The old person is cut off. You rise to walk out of that baptism in the newness of life. You're now operating by the law of the Spirit in Christ, and you're no longer subject to the law of spirit and death. It's the washing away. And then the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, is the empowerment to carry out this born-again spirit, cut off from the flesh, to walk in this earth like Jesus did.
1 John 5:7, easy example, great example for that. But we've been kind of going through some New Testament examples. So let's see if this has been God's plan all along. If this has always been instilled, let's go back to the Old Testament. And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Just the first couple verses there. And we're going to discuss Moses and show you a picture of the tabernacle and show you how there is a picture and a shadow there of the three baptisms. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And so, real quick, I just want to make mention there that Moses was the Israelites' Savior. He was that type of Christ. He was not Jesus. He was not the Christ, but he was that type and shadow of the Christ. Okay, and so can we see all three baptisms that we've been talking about in the tabernacle? Okay, Moses established the tabernacle. So we're going to discuss a little bit about the tabernacle. So if you ever look at a picture of the tabernacle, whether online or if you got pictures in your Bible, really pay close attention to these. So when you would come into the tabernacle, you would be in the outer court, okay? And there would be the altar, and there would be the blood sacrifices going on of the animals, and that is a picture of your salvation. So you see the blood there that made reference back to 1 John 5:7, the blood. Next step, the inner court, there is the laver. In the laver, you went and you washed your hands with the water, you cleansed yourself. So we got the picture of water baptism there. Then, before you entered into the Holy of Holies, they had the anointing oil that they poured over your head. And everywhere throughout the Bible, oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And you saw them pouring it upon them and just completely getting, you know, completely covered with this Holy Spirit. And that is a picture of the three baptisms all the way back in the Torah with Moses. Okay? So, and I'm...
Now, look at the three baptisms there in 1 Corinthians 10. That he said, all in verse 2 says, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud.
Oh, and in the sea. Yeah, yeah.
And so, since Moses was the type of the Christ or the deliverer, they were baptized into Moses, that's right. Salvation. They were baptized in the sea, which was the picture of the water baptism, and in the cloud. The cloud, the pillar of cloud by day, led them and was over them and upon them. So you see all three there as well.
In verse 2.
Yeah, in verse 2. So
now, I had made mention to this that you could see more examples in the book of Acts, but I think it's important that we go look at this. So Mark's going to discuss with us Acts chapter 8, verses 12 through 17, and this is a clear-cut, great just picture of the three different baptisms here.
All right, Acts chapter 8. Verse 12, he says that, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Okay, so this is after Pentecost. This is Philip out preaching the gospel concerning the kingdom. And it says, they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. So when you believe the things concerning the kingdom of God, that's you being baptized into Christ. They believed. You're believers. Okay, so they were baptized into Christ, and it says, and they, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Okay, so they received the baptism of Christ, they were water baptized. But let's read on. He says, verse 13, then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, okay, so he believed and he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 16, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17, then laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Okay, they believed, they were baptized, water baptized, but yet, he said, but yet the Spirit had not fallen upon them. So Peter and John comes down after he hears about this revival breaking out in Samaria, and they have believers there who's been water baptized, and then they come down, lay hands on them that they might receive the gift of the Spirit upon them. So again, all three baptisms.
All right, that was awesome. Like I said, it's clear cut. These three baptisms are available today, and they are available for you right this minute. Now, through this, we've kind of seen this kind of progression in your walk. You've received your salvation. If you go get water baptized, that's awesome. Please do it. Great outward expression of your faith. Then receive that baptism in the Holy Spirit. If you haven't, that's great empowerment. You know, just have faith, receive that, manifest that out. So we see the spiritual progression. Now, Sebrin, kind of talk us through what this spiritual progression is. Because we had an Old Testament picture of this with Jacob's ladder. But explain this in 1 John chapter 2, what I'm talking about here. Help me out here.
Before we read the verses here, like Keeson just said, the Holy Spirit's going to be your empowerment, and he's going to be your best friend. And when you're baptized into Christ, you're perfectly renewed, and you're redeemed, and you're perfect. And now that that's happened, and you're new, you're a spiritual infant, that's when you're a prime target for Satan. They say he's like a roaring lion, looking around for whoever he can devour, and you put yourself on the playing field now. So we're going to go to scripture and we're going to get into more about resisting the devil. So in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. So right there, he's writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Spiritual infancy lines up with you're walking in mercy and you're understanding how much God loves you and how truly redeemed you are. And Satan, this is where Satan likes to pounce on people. Because he's going to, you're going to learn this and you're going to be all fired up. And he's going to come and say, you're not redeemed, or you're going to mess up. And he is going to throw that in your face repeatedly. He's going to take past sins of who you are before you were even saved. And he's going to throw those in your face repeatedly just to really see if you believe what you're saying here.
All because you took part in the first baptism. All because you were baptized into Christ. And we make mention of this all the time. Who's telling you these things? Well, that's what he's talking about here in verse 12. Keep going with this. This is good.
So continuing on in verse 13, I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. And I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. So we go from little children, skip down a little bit, to young men, because you have overcome the evil one. So when you're growing, part of that growing is making the devil flee from you. There's no way around it. It's fighting the good fight of faith. It's spirit. This is spiritual warfare. The devil's not going to come up and be like, oh, touch that tobacco, or do something stupid like that. He's after your belief system. your works are already dead. They don't mean anything. Mm-hmm. They mean absolutely nothing right now. So he's going to come after what you believe. So that's why you have to have this solid foundation so he can't shake it.
Right.
And, so, and the first part of 13, I'm writing to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. And fathers are often referenced as spiritual leaders. So like once you get past where Satan can't even shake your belief system, eventually he's going to flee so far from you. He's like, he's not going to mess with you because he's just going to push you closer to God. So you're going to know who God is, and you're going to realize his love for you since the very foundation of the earth. I'm telling you, like,
and so that's why going on into the water baptism, cutting away the natural way of thinking, and going on into the baptism in the Spirit, receiving your empowerment. That's why you got to go on and do these things. You can't just stay at the cross.
Right.
You got to go on because spiritual warfare is coming. Okay. Once you identify yourself with Christ, the warfare is going to begin, and you need to know that you're empowered. And you need to know that the Holy Spirit is upon you, and he's going to remain on you. And he's not going to go away. He's going to be with you. The Father's with you. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You know, and so you got to get the realization of this empowerment. Because if you don't, you're really going to struggle more than you have to with the attacks of the enemy. Because really, the Bible says if you resist, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That literally means that the devil has to run from you. Yes. But you need to know who you are in Christ.
And, yeah.
You need to know that you're empowered in Christ. That when he sees you, he sees Christ. When you respond the way Christ responds. When you have on the whole armor of God, when you have all of God's armor on, all he sees is God. And so if you're just a child though and you don't believe in the empowerment and you don't believe in the cutting away of the natural way of thinking, you're stuck in the spiritual infancy and children. A little child doesn't have the ability to defend himself.
No.
In John 10, Jesus talks about him. He's the shepherd. He's a good shepherd. And we are his sheep, and we know his voice, and as strangers we will not follow. Now, I'm going to take this into your consciousness here. You're going to hear voices, and the devil's greatest trick that he has is making you believe that every voice you hear in your head, everything that's constantly talking to you throughout the day, his greatest trick is making you believe that every one of those is you, and that's not true at all. God, because like you are literally when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit is going to you are going to hear him. Absolutely. You're going to hear him in your conscience, and you got yourself talking to like you got your inner conscience, your spirit man, and so now you get these little voices in your head that tells you anything, absolutely anything apart from total completion in Christ. You're going to know who that is, and that's Satan. He's a liar. Everything he says is a lie.
Absolutely.
So when you hear a voice like that, pretty much flip it and take the opposite, and there's your truth. So you got this voice in your head saying, like, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Well, apparently you're going to make it because everything he says is
already
a lie.
You've already made it.
You know, like I'm saying, like, you're like, you've messed up or you're disqualified. Well, obviously you're in all the more because he's a liar.
Right.
But when you're a child and you hear those voices and you don't know what to do and you don't believe you're empowered, what do I do? So you got to go on, you got to mm-hmm. get to Pentecost, you got to receive the baptism of the Spirit, you got to believe unto it, you got to believe unto the empowerment.
There was a point in my walk with Christ where I would hear curse words directed towards God in my head, and like you get people talking about blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and like I would hear those in my head. I'm like, what in the world? No, God, this is not what I think towards you. And it really took like that's what sealed it, because that's not me, and God knows that. God knows my heart. And that's a real big thing, because in Proverbs 4:23, we are to guard our own heart. That is left up to us. And I think a lot of times in churches, or just like I guess in my own spiritual walk with Christ, I've definitely experienced this, where I would hear those voices and stuff like that, and I'd be like, oh God, deliver me from this. And I would put myself in a place where I felt like if I had those voices, then God God wasn't there, or God wasn't protecting me, or like, you know, I would get bitter towards God. And that's not it, because we are supposed to guard our own hearts. God gave you the Holy Spirit to lead you in truth, and he gave you his word to cut down those. And we have the shield of faith that wherever Satan says, it doesn't matter, because we truly believe that God has totally redeemed us. And it's, and like, you have to be steadfast in that. And that goes along with renewing your mind, because that's how you're going to transform. You're going to transform from the inside. I always say transform, and I always think of like something that transforms physically, but spiritually you're going to transform, because you're going to just come in more and more agreement. Right. And so Satan comes and be like, "Oh, you're not going to make it." And be like, "Satan, I already done made it, man. Are you serious?"
Yeah. That's awesome.
You got to detox yourself from those thoughts, because you no longer think that way anymore. No. Your born again spirit is not giving you those thoughts that you're going down, that you're not going to make it, that you're going under, that this ain't real. That's not coming from you. That's not coming from your born-again spirit, because your born-again spirit's telling you that you're more than a conqueror in Christ.
Amen.
That you're an ambassador for Christ, that you've been transformed, that you are the complete image of God in spirit. And so that's not coming from your spirit. Disregard that. Disregard those thoughts. But you got to believe and renew your mind with this empowerment of the Holy Spirit, this baptism of the Holy Spirit, because that's going to be your enforcement to get rid of these thoughts. It's you're going to give you the empowerment to get rid of them.
You're not crazy because you hear voices. You're on the right track.
That's awesome. That's some good stuff right there, guys. I don't know about you guys, but I'm getting a little fired up. Spirit's kind of a little turning in me.
Seriously, the devil's... I don't mean to cut you off, but seriously...
Let him go.
We give so much power to the devil. He is totally cut off. He is a withered olive branch, totally fatherless, to the end of eternity. He is so puny, and we act like he's some huge dragon.
Amen.
Jesus stomped his head already. What Amen. Are we worried about? Tell him to shut up.
Let him
He
go.
Has nothing on you.
Amen.
The only thing he could do is make you stand in front of yourself. He gets you in your own way because he can't stop you. Sorry, I'm going to calm myself down now.
That's all right. That's okay.
Well, listen, though. Let's talk about how powerless he is. In Colossians 2, it says in verse 13, it says, "And you being dead in your sins," that was, "and the uncircumcision of your flesh," that was you before, all right? He said, "has quickened," or made alive, "together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you." So he's blotted out all your sins, right? "That was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, having spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." So you tell me, how much power does the enemy have now?
He has no power.
None.
He's none. He spoiled him and made a show of it openly, triumphing over him. And so don't give him power that he doesn't have.
If we as a body of Christ would talk about transformation through Christ and grace as much as we like to talk about the devil and how much he's getting us down, instead of, this whole world would look different. We're so worried. The devil's got me, and we call people and we have them pray for us, when all we got to do is tell them to get and just speak truth.
Absolutely. But only a young man or a father is going to do that. A little child doesn't know how to do that. He doesn't know how to tell him to leave. So you got to grow up, and you got to grow up fast.
But just another highlight, there is no point during your spiritual progression where you are not perfect and righteous, redeemed. The whole time, that's awesome. The whole time while you're still growing up, you're growing up from perfection.
Right. And this has been some awesome stuff. Now you take these three baptisms that we've talked about tonight. We talk about defending that heart, that spiritual progression. We talk about how our enemies have been made a footstool and they have no more power. This is the ultimate thing to transform your and renew your mind with, okay? This is what you're going to make Satan flee from you from. Right here. 1 John 4:17 is my favorite verse in the entire Bible. And we're going to close with this. 1 John 4:17 says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is," we're talking about Christ here. We're talking about our Savior, the Messiah, Yeshua. We're talking about the guy. "Because as he is, so are we in this world." So chew on that for the week. Come back, listen to us next week. We're going to have some awesome more mind renewal for you next week. God bless you. Have a great, great day.